Welcome back on my video blog. Subscribe here on Channel 9. And today I'm going to start a series of screencasts that I'm going to record and where I'm going to show you how to use the various aspects and various tools around Service Bus. The most fundamental, of course, is how do you create a namespace and how can you go and create entities. And the way that works today is through the Windows Azure portal, the new HTML-based portal. That's where Service Bus is. And so today I'm going to guide you through the necessary steps to go and create namespaces. I'll talk a little bit about namespaces and structuring, and we'll also show you how to create a queue and a topic, and we'll also give you a hint of how you can go and create accounts other than owner by jumping over to the access control portal. So I'm going to show you exactly that place where that lives. So enjoy the next about 15 to 17 minutes where I explain that. To use Service Bus and any of the features that it provides, you need to have a namespace. A namespace is very similar to a website or an IIS site or a database in or a server in SQL, and it effectively gives you a scope that contains the entities that we have in Service Bus, like queues and topics and relays. So to get started with that, to create a new namespace and create some related entities, and the first thing you need to do is to go to the management portal. So I'm here on WindowsAzure.com. I'm assuming you have already signed up for a subscription for Windows Azure. If you haven't, it's very easy. You can go here on free trial. And if you sign up for the free trial, we're first going to ask you for a mobile phone number or a phone number that we can call you on and to verify your identity. And then we also are asking you to provide a credit card that we will not charge for the first 90 days, but it also is another proof of your identity. So you can sign up for that free trial. It's free for 90 days. There's a quota on that, and that quota will also allow you to use Service Bus and try those things out. So I'm going to go to the portal, and here I'm signing in into the management portal with an account that I made and that I gave administration rights on my personal MSDN account. I'm just not showing you my personal MSDN account because this one is easier to spam. I'm not going to pick up anything from that account in terms of email. So, and here you see my Service Bus section. The Service Bus section is empty in this account. There's no namespaces. So the easiest, the thing for me to do, and it's fairly easy to do that, is to go and the easiest way is to go and create a new namespace right here. There's a create button that sits here and I can enter a namespace name. It's going to check out whether it's unique. I was lucky. This is a unique name. These need to be globally unique because what we're going to do is we're going to create a DNS name that will be that prefix with the suffix servicebus.windows.net. And you can also pick the data center you want to be in. It's important to pick the right data center. If you are building a solution and you have assets in Windows Azure, pick the same region. And the reason for that is that you want to keep the latency fairly low. And if you are bridging to resources which are outside of the data center, pick the region that is closest to where your resource is going to be. So if you're in continental Europe, you may want to pick West Europe. Or North Europe. If you're in the US, you want to pick the appropriate region. And if you're in Asia, you want to pick the appropriate region. What people tell me from Australia and New Zealand is that often the routes into the data centers in the US are quicker than the one into Asia. So you will certainly know that in if you're in the respective region, what the best data center location is that you may be picking. So I would go and pick West Europe. I'm not going to create this here. It's going to create a namespace. We're going to see how creating a namespace works in a second, because I'm going to do this over the button that's in the corner here that allows you to go and create effectively all the resources in Windows Azure. So I'm going to do it this way. And in App Services, if you select this, there are three options. There's a Service Bus queue, there's a Service Bus topic, and there's a Service Bus relay. We also have these wonderful new symbols here in the new portal. And as you create a Service Bus queue, if we choose the quick create option, then we can go and pick a queue name.
And that queue name here in this case is test, and I am picking a namespace name. I just put that in from the clipboard. ClemensV-myapp-euw-1. So this is for my application in my scope. EUW stands for Europe West. So let me go and correct that, West Europe. And dash one is my first namespace that I have. And now I can go and effectively create in that, I will create that namespace, and I will also create the matching queue called test all in one go. So we're gonna go and give that a spin. And now it's creating in the queue, is actually doing two things. It's activating that namespace in the West Europe names in the West Europe data center. What happens there is it places the resources into the West Europe data center, into one of the place, into one of the scale units in the West Europe data center. So it picks the right one for you, which has enough capacity, and then it will also create the respective DNS names for you. So it's, in this case here, it's creating for me clemensv-myapp.euw-1.servicebus.windows.net as a CNAME record. That alias is the namespace for on that particular set of resources. And then as it does that, once it's done with this, it's also going to create the queue. After a bit of a wait, the namespace is going to switch to active, and then it's available, and you can inspect the details. And amongst the details, since we now created the queue, so we can see the results here, now create the queue test and also create the namespace with it. We can go to the details here, create the namespace. The namespace has been activated, which means it's now ready for business, and also the queue was created. So we can close this and go and inspect the namespace. What happened? What was created? There's a queue. There's the way to get the access key. Let's go and take a look at this. It's now actually going into the namespace data and gets you the connection string. The connection string is important because most of our APIs these days are using the connection string to go and create access for the namespace manager and the messaging factory. And also you can go and use the connection string with a relay. And then you can also get at the default issuer and the default key. The default issuer is effectively our root account or administrator account. If you want to create more accounts, you can do that and can assign them rights. And you can do this in several ways. You can do this programmatically. You can do this using a tool called SBAZ tool. I'm going to talk about the SBAZ tool in a separate segment. But from here, you can get into the ACS management portal. I just control click that. And so that gets me into the access control services here, and the access control services, which is for my namespace. You can see the dash SB suffix. So this is the namespace that automatically gets created and paired with a service bus namespace as it gets created. And if I go into the service identities here, that's where I find the owner. That's the service identity that's standard, that's created by default. It has a symmetric key. The symmetric key is used for the OAuth wrap protocol that we're using for OAuth 2. It also has a password that's effectively the same password, the same key. But this is taking, if you use the OAuth 2 authentication, it's going to be used from that bucket. If you wanted to create new service identities, you can do this. So I could go and create one. I can call this Clemens V. I can go and generate a new symmetric key, save this, and then I can go and add, if I wanted to, also a password. The easiest way for here is to actually go and go to the key and copy this, but symmetric key is sufficient for me to sign in using the standard protocol that Service Bus uses. And then there are rules. There's a default rule group for Service Bus, and in these rules there's a rule for the owner. The owner has rights to listen on the root of Service Bus. And if I want to grant now this brand new account, Clemens V, rights, I could also go and add those respective rules and then apply them effectively on the relying party application here. So that's the root of my namespace. We're issuing SWAT tokens. That will then have the default rule group here applied. Mind that you cannot manage this namespace yourself. You cannot manage the signing keys. Those are automatically managed for you. So just to give you, that was just mostly to give you a quick heads up on how you can actually get into the management area for new accounts. As I said, I'm going to explain in another segment how to go and do this in detail, how you can actually go and assign those rights and how you can stop using owner. And then I'm going to show you both using the ACS management portal, but also I'm going to show you how to get at and how to use the SBAZ tool to manage security, manage access control on Service Bus. So this is all the secrets for this namespace. And so I'm going to close this. And what we created here is a queue. So now all the resources that we have in this namespace are going to be listed here. We only have one. And if you only want to see the queues, you can go here to this tab and go see just the queues, just the topics. We don't have a topic here yet, obviously. And then all the relays. The relays can't be pre-created, so you can't create them here. If you want to create a relay, there's some help text here that you can go to that will show you how to use the Service Bus relay effectively. It gives you all the help, the information that you need. You need to create a namespace, and then you need to go and get the credentials effectively, and then set that up. Again, in these getting started things, in these getting started segments, I'll also show you how to do that with the relay, but manageable on the, so, and as soon as you have a relay open, as soon as you have a endpoint that's active, you can actually see that endpoint listed in the portal for as long as it's active. And so we have the queue. So if we go and what we can also do from here, from these lists, is we can go and disable the entities. We can disable the queues. We can disable the topics. And disabling means that they will no longer function, that they will no longer accept messages, that they will no longer yield messages, but they're disabled, they can't be used, but they're not deleted. So if you need to suspend processing in your application, you can go and disable them that way. Inside the queue that I just created you'll find a number of defaults, the last updated time, that's when we made the last change. The default message time to live is 14 days, the current queue length is 0, there's no messages in them. And the maximum size is 1 gigabyte. You can create queues that are larger, and you can also manipulate the message time to live. And the way you do this, you don't create the queue using this quick create that we use, but you create a new queue using the custom create option. The custom create option, we're going to go and create a new queue, test 2, in the same region, in the same namespace. So that's all pre-selected. This tells us here that the queue name is available, because that's a relative expression. And on the next page, we actually get a number of options for how we can go and configure the queue. So we can pick a size from 1 gigabyte to 5 gigabytes in capacity. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to pick, let's say I pick 3. And then the default message time to live, if you're submitting a message into that queue, unless you're doing something extra, unless you're explicitly setting the time to live, it's going to be good for 14 days. Let me go and to change that to 30 minutes. And then you can also check that expired messages move to the dead letter subqueue. So every queue that you create, and also every subscription you create, has a dead letter queue. We're also going to inspect that in another segment and how that all works. That means that the expired messages are not deleted, but they're actually moved to the subqueue where you can see that they got deleted. The lock duration is for when you want to retrieve messages using the peak lock pattern, and for how long we're going to hold them locked. There's a duplicate detection feature, and there's a session feature, all features that I will also talk about in future segments on this blog. So now I'm going to create this queue with this setting, and it's a fairly quick operation, and now the test 2 queue already exists and is active. Similarly, You can do that for topics. If you want to create a new topic, you can do the same thing. You can go and do custom create it. I'm going to go and create a new topic called test 3 and to create that in the West Europe region in the same namespace. And here I also get the same kinds of options, less from the queue because some of the options are only applying to the respective subscriptions. I make a 2 gig queue. I can also enable the duplicate detection because that's for inbound messages. And now I have that created and that is active. And now I can add a subscription here. One thing I can't do in the portal is I can't set rules. So I'm gonna here have my test 3, did I call this test 3? Yes, test 3 sub 1, my first subscription. And I can set all these different options here. I can have the same option here for when for moving expired messages that letter sub queue. If a filter evaluation expression is causing a deception, if it's wrong, then we can also go in dead letter in the messages. Lock duration, sessions, batching, all things that we're going to talk in about in future sessions. And then there's also a maximum delivery count that is for automatic dead lettering if messages can't be delivered if they're poisonous. And so you can set all those things, and I'll explain poison messages also in the in a future segment. So with that, you can go and create a subscription. The one thing you can't do here from the portal is you can't set filter conditions. You can set those at runtime, and you can also set them using a tool that you can also download. Then it's also going to show you in another segment called the Service Bus Explorer, and that's built by Paolo Salvatori from Italy, who's one of our colleagues working in the customer adoption. In the customer advisory team for Service Bus. So much just to give you a quick tour through the options that we have in the portal. Obviously, as you are running the system, you will also be able to see ingress messages, the size of the total size of the messages. You're going to see the active subscriptions that you have and what's going on with those subscriptions. But so much as a basic getting started, get some orientation around how you can go and create and manage entities inside a Service Bus. Obviously, once you no longer want those subscriptions, you can go and press the delete button. And to be very extreme, and that's something I'm going to do now because I disclosed the keys for you, the access keys, I'm going to go and delete that entire namespace, which is going to tear down all the resources, so all the messages that might be in that namespace, all the queues, all the topics, all the subscriptions, everything that's in that namespace gets deleted, gets destroyed in one go. So I'm going to go do that. So now it's actually tearing that namespace down. Creating a namespace, having a namespace per se, and even having a queue per se, is not incurring costs. You incur costs in Service Bus if you send messages. So you can go and stage your namespaces as you're setting things up, and only once you start using them, you're actually getting charged. And the rate at which you're getting charged then is 1 cent per 10,000 messages, or a much simpler $1 per million. And per 100 relay hours, we charge 10 cents. So a relay hour is if you have an endpoint created independent of how many listeners you have, every 100 hours, we charge 10 cents for that. Otherwise, unless you have traffic, really there's no charge, so messages can be in the system and at rest, and effectively whenever you enqueue a message, that costs you a message, whenever you dequeue a message out of the system, that will also incur a message charge again, a million messages for $1, and then respectively in all the other currencies that we charge at, you're going to pay a respective rate.
Welcome back in the studio. I hope you found this somewhat enlightening, even if it was light, for people who have experience building Service Bus applications and who have interacted with the portal, because the portal is the only way, the one way how you can create a namespace these days. We're going to have in the future a way to go and create namespaces with a script, but for now, the portal is something, it's kind of the gateway to getting things done to start new namespaces. Once you have a namespace, there's multiple ways how you can create and interact with resources. You've seen today how that works in the portal, and in upcoming segments, I'm going to be talking about how that works with the API, with the namespace manager we have in the API, which allows you to create and manage resources within the namespace, and then also with the Service Bus Explorer, which is a tool that's made by Paolo Salvatore from our customer advisory team for Windows Azure that's taking care of large customers. And so Paolo is building this tool effectively in lockstep with the releases that we do. And so that gives you somewhat more control about all the knobs and switches that we have in Service Bus. So I'm going to also explain and show that tool to you in an upcoming screencast. And as I mentioned earlier, the SBAZ tool, the tool to manage security, create accounts, manage rights on Service Bus, is also something that I will walk you through and also point you to the place where I can get it, and where I can download it, and then compile and run it. So I'll also do that in a future segment. So far, thank you for tuning into this segment, and I'm looking forward to be able to
greet you again.